This is CliffCentral.com.
Growing up, there was never any question. My mother and father had very different parenting styles. My father was like a military sergeant. My mother's praying style made me feel guilty with a prayerful smile. But never once did it occur to me that the way they led and raised us had its origins in their brains being wired differently. Yes, scientists have proven men and women's brains are different, and this can lead to different leadership styles. And today, I'll be exploring the neuroscience of why men and women lead differently. Welcome back to the next episode of the Brain and Brand Show. I am Timothy Maurice, and this is the show exploring the link between brain power and brand power, how people impact brands, and how stories and brands impact people's potential. Before we get into today's show, I'm thrilled to see our show climbing the charts on Apple Podcast. We were competing in the top 10 in the science category alongside the likes of Invisibilia, which is one of my favorite podcasts, and the rock star scientist Neil deGrasse Tyson. His show is Star Talk on radio, very popular internationally, but in South Africa, I'm competing with him, and that's good news. So a big thank you to those listening and sharing this content with your friends locally and around the world. Email me with show ideas and feedback, Timothy Maurice, S-M-A-U-R-I-C-E, at gmail.com, or follow me on Twitter, at Timothy Maurice. Let's keep the conversation flowing. Perhaps you are a woman and have never been able to explain fully your instincts and why you lead differently. One of my goals in this show, and particularly this episode, is to provide the latest science to explain why we behave the way we do, and more importantly, spread the awareness to shift our expectations and beliefs towards a set of behaviors and style. Few areas are more misunderstood than women's leadership. In fact, in my recent observation, working with leading women, interviewing leading women on my TV show, writing for leading women's magazines, society is sort of playing lip service to the women's leadership gender conversation. And little attention is being paid to the business case of more women in leadership positions. Yes, I said it. There is a business case. So beyond the moral imperative for women being at senior leadership position, there is a business case, which I'll unpack shortly. Women who, when there are more women, businesses do better. And I'll unpack that in a moment. I want you to think for a moment. In fact, please get out a pen and paper. It's weird because that long pause, because I was thinking to myself, a pen and paper, most people use their phones. So get out your phone. I want you to list three women leaders you admire the most and then jot down three men as well. So whether it's Nelson Mandela's leadership style or Germany's Angela Merkel or your mother and father, just make minor notes about their differences. As I noted earlier, my father was a disciplinarian. My mother could get more out of me with a stern spiritual approach, while my dad's style triggered a greater rush of short-term dopamine. My mother's style was deeper and more sustainable. Which is more impactful? Many would argue neither. They're just different. For centuries, the fusion of poor science, religion, and backward cultural beliefs propped up patriarchy and dealt a blow to women's leadership aspirations around the world. The Enlightenment era, the period between 17th and 19th century, helped usher in healthier dialogue around women's rights and leadership capacity. While there are still troubling biases against women across all sectors of society, as well as the scientific community, better research tools have helped ensure we have a better, healthier conversation around the true capacity of women in all areas of leadership. And I am so grateful that we've moved beyond this complete, absolute nonsense. It was really bad, guys. It was so bad that women were considered smaller men. While we are a long ways from where we need to be, it's critical to acknowledge the unacceptable slow pace of change. Listen to what Lohan Brizendine, MD and author of The Female Brain, had to say. She said, for much of the 20th century, most scientists assumed that women, and these are scientists, were essentially small men, neurologically and in every other sense, except for their reproductive functions. That assumption has been at the heart of enduring misunderstandings. When you look a little deeper into the brain differences, they reveal what makes women, women, and men, men. This is important because the advances of neuroscience is what's changed this. We have come a long way from the majority of society thinking women are just small men with far less brain capacity, but there are still ridiculous stereotypes floating around, and we have to deal with them. As part of my mission of sharing the raw science of gender potential, particularly in the leadership context, I went on a mission and I sought the insight of our resident guest on this podcast, neuroscientist Dr. Tara Swart, author of Neuroscience for Leadership, as a way of dispelling the stubborn myths about women's capacity to lead and the differences in men and women's brains. I wanted to know from a medical doctor and neuroscientist, what is the truth? As our conversations continue to build with Dr. Tara Swart on this podcast, she saw my interest and she invited me to her Neuroscience for Leadership class at MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Boston, to hear the latest ideas coming out of the scientific and leadership community about how men and women lead differently. In fact, she decided to add more to the content, to the curriculum about women's brains to the primarily because of this podcast. So there you have it. We, you and I, on this podcast are impacting the curriculum of one of the best schools in the world. Isn't that kind of cool? Please tweet that. Share that with someone. That if you listen to Unbranded and you share feedback about what you're concerned about, we can network you with some of the top minds in the world and maybe even update and add value to the curriculums. MIT's corporate education department is as rigorous as you would imagine from a school ranked number one or number two in the world on a consistent basis. The program I attended consisted of mind-centering yoga classes as well as dietary offerings designed to ensure maximum brain participation. But the star of the educational show beyond MIT is by far Dr. Swart. Dr. Swart is an Oxford-educated medical doctor who decided to invest her energy in ensuring leaders achieve their maximum brain power. So if there's anyone who can provide light into women and men's brains, it's Tara. And let me just be very clear. Dr. Swart's brain, if that absolute nonsense, and you can back this up with just about every woman you know, the fact that it was once thought that women's brains were less than a man's in terms of his capacity to be able to lead, it's just mind-blowing. Whenever I speak to Dr. Tara and we talk about this, it just blows me away. Anyway, about halfway through the course, it was clear that Dr. Swart's passion for understanding the uniqueness of the human brain is nearly unrivaled. While I learned a lot about why it's not good to have coffee after lunch, what it does to the brain, all that caffeine, and the importance of uninterrupted sleep, healing sleep, my purpose for being there was clear: to understand how the brain of women and men are different and how this impacts their leadership potential. So let's get to it. After I settled in for a few days, the answer to the gender brain differences began to flow. Dr. Swart explained why structurally the minor size difference between men and women's brains are very little. On average, men's brains are 10% larger. The size difference does not translate to additional capacity to lead. This is a key point. Just because your head is bigger, men, does not mean you have additional capacity to lead. Let's lock in. Anyone paying attention to world affairs would know this, but it was good to hear it from a neuroscientist at MIT. It was interesting to note studies show the majority of male and female brains show masculine and feminine features that vary from person to person. This simply means that if every person you ever met took out their brain and put it on the table, you would not be able to go, oh, that's a man or woman's brain. Most of us share traits of both. In research shows around 98% doesn't show a clear gender profile at all. Let me be clear about that. If you took two brains of a man and a woman, or a bunch of brains of men and women, you put them on the table, you would not be able to tell because the brains don't necessarily show a gender profile. However, things became very interesting when Dr. Swart began to note that our circuitry, or what is commonly known as the connectome, and a connectome is like connect, O-M-E, so if you want to search that, has different wiring in key areas. These different proverbial roadmaps help explain why men and women lead differently and why the differences can and should be celebrated versus looked down on. This does not mean men or women are better. It simply suggests we should highlight the strengths of each and be aware of what we may need to change. This is an important part of the conversation because historically, because we didn't know much about the brain, we just assumed that the size difference in men's brain meant that men were better leaders. And we resigned women to specific lower roles because we misunderstood. So having clarity about the difference in men and women's brains goes extremely far to being sure that we treat the genders the same. So women have more connections going from left to right across the two halves of the brain. The left brain is responsible for logical thinking and the right intuition, which could offer women an advantage when analyzing several sources and coming to a healthy conclusion. Men, on the other hand, have more connections going back to front. These connection patterns help heighten their perception, offer more motor and spatial skills, and these skills assist in hand-eye coordination activities such as catching a ball. Now, this does not mean women can't be good at catching a ball. It means that that is just sort of the default. And the ability to be able to reprogram the brain for women to pick up male traits and males pick up feminine traits is there as well, which I'll mention in a moment. These patterns are not hard rules that can't be changed, and the environment plays an important role when it comes to the brain's wiring. Dr. Swart highlights that the differences between women and men's brain output is impacted by a complex ecosystem of influence such as diet, friends, parenting, as well as whether or not your boss emits too many stress hormones. One of the aspects of our brains that make us remarkable is the ability to make patterns, signals, and connections in the brain stronger by committing to practices. So overriding a negative pattern is completely possible through what Dr. Swart calls neuroplasticity, which is the brain's ability to rewire or reshape itself in order to grow new circuits, which is the gateway to new behaviors. And the good news, the potential occurs late into our retirement years. So beyond all these scientific terms and all this jargon, the bottom line is this, that the ability for the brain to rewire itself, to learn new practices, new ways of thinking, can override the bottom line sort of disposition or the bottom line abilities from anyone's brains. You can gain additional capacity that you can leverage from male or female. But let's go back and look at what are some of the other basic differences between men and women's brains. If after knowing that men's and women's brains are basically the same and we can rewire our circuitry to accomplish what we need to, here are some common generic differences. Okay. So I want you to get this before I actually mention these differences. Men and women can rewire their brain. Do I need to say that again? No. We can all rewire. But here are some sort of default traits women have. Female leadership traits are group problem solvers, participative, vocally encourages, helps others express emotion, inductive in solving problems. Those are things that women have an instinct towards that are very different from men. Male leadership traits, personally, problem solve, hierarchical, encourage less feeling and more action, downplays the role of emotions, and deductive in problem solving. Now, I want you to get the message out there that while our brains are different, neuroplasticity creates the possibility that we can learn from each other's strengths. But to know that the instincts are often very different is important to be able to pick up encouraging signs of leadership strengths. The course that I attended was attended by students from around the world, as far wide as from Singapore to Brazil, and it was telling how many people I spoke to who had experienced a female leader who had harnessed her ability to change behavior patterns that weren't desirable and maximized those that were. The main takeaway from Dr. Swart belies sorting out my espresso addiction after lunch was that men and women both have the potential to lead at the highest level and can rewire the brain when taking conscious ownership. Somewhere between our conditioned programming and our need to participate in a leadership environment is the ability to choose. I would encourage you to get Dr. Swart's book, Neuroscience for Leadership, to really dig in a bit deeper. One of the things that I've observed as I've gone across this continent as well as throughout the world is that most people, or a lot of people, sort of don't challenge themselves. They don't push the boundaries of their instincts. So if my instinct says go right, so many people just kind of resign themselves to it. I always tease that I can feel my body, my genetic code says I should have a big stomach. You know, one of those, if you're in South Africa, those what we call BE stomach, a big round stomach. So I have to push myself because I can feel it coming. And I can override that sort of genetic instinct and rewire my body to have a six-pack. Now, I'm not at the six-pack level, but the ability to be able to override it sort of demonstrates the same thing that happens with the brain. It's encouraging to know that we have similar capacity and different strengths in the range of our capacity. But what's most important as we go through and we start to empower people with knowledge about the capacity of a man and woman is that we all can evolve and grow, but we are fundamentally different on some levels. I think as we take this information forward, I want people to know the raw science, but hope you can go back and take some notes to particularly the area where I was talking about female leadership traits, such as group problem solvers, participative, vocally encourages, helps others express emotion, and then male leadership traits, personally problem solve, hierarchical, encourage less feeling, more action, downplays the role of emotions, deductive in problem solving, and realize that we have the distinct ability, and I mean the distinct ability, to be able to evolve and grow. But I just want to sort of share with you for a moment that I mentioned early in the podcast that there is a fundamental business case, for having more women leaders. Research firm Catalyst found that Fortune 500 companies with more women at the top produce greater returns. McKinsey's Women Matter report placed the business case for gender transformation at the heart of the bottom line, showing that $12 trillion could be added to the global GDP by 2025 by advances women's equality. McKinsey also showed European companies with a greater gender balance in leadership showed higher returns on stock prices and operating profit. So, more women leaders not only lead to different cultural influences, but a bottom line impact to the economy of the business. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Brain and Brand Show. I'm really thrilled that you continue to follow us. And remember, you can email me, timothymaurice@gmail.com. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Brain and Brand Show.
This is CliffCentral.com.